But for a screen lover, the unfolding strike by the Writers Guild of America and the Screen Actors Guild means going cold turkey on new releases for the foreseeable future. Now, we know it's about AI, but the expansion of technology affects us all. So what makes creatives in the USA and their terms of employment important to us, apart from being deprived of fresh fodder for our tally? Dr. Jasmine Pfefferkorn, is a postdoctoral research fellow in the School of Culture and Communication at the University of Melbourne and a research fellow at the Melbourne Law School. Dr. Pfefferkorn is also an executive board member of the research unit in public cultures on the Steering Committee for the Art, AI and Digital Ethics Research Collective at the Centre for Artificial Intelligence and Digital Ethics. And as well as that, the co-founder and co-director of the research group Coded Aesthetics. So I'm thinking that Dr. Pfefferkorn has just a little bit more of an inside run on this issue than the average individual. Dr. Pfefferkorn joins us now. Good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning, Jeff.
Well, the crew in Hollywood certainly have our attention. Most of us have a soft spot for something they produce, but computers in industry aren't exactly a new phenomenon. CGI has made us all go ooh and ah in many a movie. Why is using a computer to assist production now an existential threat?
It's a great question, Jeff, because you're absolutely right. AI and other technologies have been used in the film industry for a long time and the television industry. But what we're talking about now is a different kind of AI. It's a subset of AI called generative AI, and this has really changed the debate that we're having. So if you imagine that traditional AI is something like Netflix's recommendation system, right, which is fed a data set, it's really good from learning from that data set and making predictions. Generative AI is doing something on top of this. It's also learning from data set, also fed a data set, but it does this with the objective of making something new, which is starting to encroach on the creative industry in different ways.
So had the use of AI actually started to result in instances of script creation or cloning of actors on a large scale? I mean, how successful have any attempts been?
So performance cloning, which is what we're talking about there, this creation of digital twins, is something that isn't widely used. We've been using AI-generated, people, humans, etc., or creatures within film for quite some time. But actually cloning a actor and then utilizing that clone within a variety of different scenes, we're normally talking about background actors here, isn't something that at this stage is widespread, and the debates around it are starting to seem like it won't be either.
How at threat is my job?
I think you're safe for the time being, Jeff. While, you know, there tends to be this rhetoric of either hype, you know, this celebratory hype around AI and everything it can do, or on the flip side of that, this rhetoric of fear that it's going to make all of our jobs redundant and completely replace what we do as humans, the reality is that we'll never stop seeking human connection. And part of what it means to work in a creative industry is to facilitate that. So I think you're safe.
I have to say the discussion around AI at the moment, it reminds me of the fervor of discussion that was around Bitcoin, you know, 7-8 years ago. There seems to be a lot of, self-deemed experts that don't really know too much about the paddock.
Yeah, I would say that that's probably accurate of any issue that we have.
I mean, it must be annoying for someone like yourself that an actual research fellow on this sort of issue for people just to be popping up, not really knowing what they're talking about.
I think the real difficulty is that these technical processes are quite opaque and deliberately kept that way. And so without really understanding and learning the technical processes, now I'm no, coder or programmer, but I have enough of the base knowledge to know what these systems can and can't do. So I feel like that helps alleviate some of that discrepancy that we see in other commentary.
Jasmine, there's an automatic assumption that AI is able to just turn out films that will be Academy Award magnets. To me, that seems a little unlikely. Are the studios about to find out that computers aren't great strike-breaking scabs, that the gear that they come up with might be good for other computers to view but might be fantastic for humans? Like, yeah, it could be a big commercial failure, right?
Very much could be, and that's why the conversation is a little bit more nuanced in the way that it's playing out. So what we're really talking about here isn't replacement, but rather collaboration, and that comes with its own issues. So if you look at what the Writers Guild of America are asking for, they're asking for protections within the inevitable collaborations that are going to happen. So they're asking for proper attribution and accreditation of the work that they do. They're asking that if they are working together with AI in script writing, that they're properly remunerated, that they don't have to just go in there and edit a source script that's been produced by AI, which obviously would severely detract from the creative process.
Now, there's also, during this period, been lots of talk, saying, this hasn't happened for, 50 years. We're, all looking back to 1959, 1960 and the screen strike that occurred back then. It was a slightly different story that was going on back then. Ronald Reagan was bought in after retiring from the Screen Actors Guild as chairman. He was invited back in to run the strike, and then it turned out he was a patsy for the FBI and was dobbing in his fellow actors. How do you see this strike playing out? The actors, well, in that instance, some of them ended up quite happy. Residuals were paid to actors for movies that made their way onto television after 1960. But actors of the golden era were pretty deeply peed off with Ronald Reagan.
I think we're going to realistically end up with some sort of compromise that no one's entirely happy with. It's just the reality of these situations. What we're, at this stage, what's being hoped for is that actors and writers will be able to retain rights over the use of their own images and also their content. If we can get that bare minimum, that would be great. But in terms of, intellectual property, copyright, attribution, the fact that actors and writers have been kept out of the conversation with tech developers when they're training AI, it means that we're quite far into this cycle already, and it's borderline impossible to backtrack on some of these things, which is why I think no one's going to get the ideal outcome that they want.
Now, there has been some work that's been allowed to continue. I believe that's mostly been work from small independent studios. Is that going to be the way that we could see things going, that the smaller studios are perhaps going to be more trustworthy and a better custodian of the arts?
That would be really interesting, and it's something that I've been contemplating, whether this might actually, to some degree, end up decentralising Hollywood, not just in terms of distributing power more to smaller studios, but also, we can look towards the new AI Act coming out of European Union law, and the fact that there's some points in that law around generative AI specifically. And, you know, there's a chance that it might decentralise the power, as much as there's a chance that it will further cement Hollywood, big studios, big producers.
Well, it really depends on who wins, doesn't it, in this instance? Yep.
It does, and it also depends on, you know, how, whether or not we prioritise money or we prioritise workers' rights in this scenario, and also for consumers as audiences, what we support as well.
And, I mean, this isn't the first time an industry's been hit by technology changes. I mean, you look at the music industry you know, the ubiquitousness of music now and the availability of it, and resulting in musicians making more money by hitting the stage more often. Is that perhaps going to be an outcome of this, that, well, the positive is we might see more theatrical productions?
I mean, yeah, that would be a great silver lining if theatre had even more of a resurgence. That would be wonderful.
I mean, machines were supposed to do all the work, so us humans could focus on doing nothing. Should we just get used to the idea we're all getting phased out?
I don't think the majority of people realistically will enjoy doing nothing. I think that, you know, people who have creative pursuits deserve to be clothed and homed and fed,
yeah,
like anyone else, regardless of whether it is a passion and they'd be doing it without pay or not.
Well, Jasmine, hopefully the strike action is successful. This centralisation of power and people being manipulated just is deeply unattractive.
Indeed it is, and I hope that some of your speculations around theatre and around smaller studios might come to fruition.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. Thank you very much, Dr. Pfefferkorn.
Thanks, Jeff.
That was Dr. Jasmine Pfefferkorn, postdoctoral research fellow in the School of Culture and Communications at the University of Melbourne, and a research fellow at the Melbourne Law School, amongst a whole heap of other things. Hopefully AI is going to end up just backing off a little, letting the actors step up. Can't really imagine scripts being written by a computer being all that entertaining.